What's up, world? That's good. Wednesday. Today is going to be awesome because normally I have mom in the house at the end of the show, but today we have dad in the house for the whole show. So we got the boss hog himself on the podcast. So welcome, Willie Robertson.
Hello, Sadie Rob Huff. Whatever you're going by these days.
That's the new name. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. You know, we've had it for a few years now, but you're a hard guy to get. Just kidding. Only like a year and a half.
Well, usually I find that when you want someone on your podcast, the first thing you need to do is ask. And so since I haven't been asked, I felt it awkward to try to worm my way in on the podcast if I really wasn't invited. All I know is you called me one time and asked me one silly question. That's the only time.
Yeah, that was your feature on the podcast. I said, can I ask you a question? You said, hurry, I'm hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a bad time. Now we're not hunting, so I'm excited. It's an honor to be your guest on your podcast. Hopefully I can... match up. Who's your last person you had on?
Last person, we had Julie Wilson, and she was amazing. For that, we had Beth Moore.
Wow.
So you're really carrying some manlyhood to our podcast.
Man, I got the best Beth Moore story ever. But that'll be a later podcast.
All right. So I will treat you like I treat every other guest with the very first question we ask, and that is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Well, that's a great question. I think I would have to say is give more than you take.
It's good.
That pretty much covers every aspect of life. If you try to give, always give more than what you take. And so I think sometimes we get caught in trying to take more. But if you always try to give more at your job and your marriage, whatever it is, if you're giving more than was asked, and certainly more than you're taking. I just find that that's worked for me. I think that's one of the secrets, like in business, is like you just try to help other people. If I can help you, then it's going to help me, and it's turned out pretty good.
So good. I love asking this question because every time I ask it to people, it's influential people, right? And then when they give their advice, you can always see it bleed through everything that they do. And so being your daughter, having an up close view of your life, I can see how you give a lot more than you take. And that's really cool to know that that's been at the forefront of your mind.
Has anyone ever said that before?
No.
Really?
No one said that.
Awesome. I'm scared I'd have one that someone else, because sadly, I'm a little behind on your podcast as far as listening to them.
So, wow.
Which may be zero. So I didn't know. So I just want to make sure I wasn't like, oh, it's the fourth time we've heard that one.
Well, here's a good thing. And crazy enough, we've never had anybody repeat something that somebody else has said,
really?
Which is unique. Yeah. Because I guess everybody just has different stories, different people feeding into their life. But no, that's so good. And then you kind of mentioned this. You're like, that goes for business. That goes for parenting. That goes for being a husband, giving more than you take. And I want to do something fun on this podcast. You know, normally I talk about people's books or stories, and if we did that, we would talk forever.
Right.
So I got more specific, and I wanted to go through just pieces of advice in different areas of your life that I've really seen you thrive in.
Mm-hmm.
Some learn the hard way, some just like absolutely you're just good at.
Right.
And so I wanted to ask you just different pieces of advice in different segments of your life. And the first one I want to ask you is about your sense of humor. And this is why. When people tell me I'm so much like you, there's two things that they're normally talking about. They're like, you have his exact dimple and you know, look a lot alike. And then they say, and you have a sense of humor.
Oh.
And I think that's a high compliment because everybody thinks you're hilarious. But what's your best piece of advice on having a good sense of humor?
Oh, man, that's a lot. And I was thinking, I'm glad you're not overweight. Because then you would think like, oh, that's why they're saying that. Because ergo, that's why you asked me about my sense of humor. So you've always got to be thinking, right? So pretty much when everyone says something, I have to fight not thinking the funny thing about what you're saying. I don't know if that's advice, but
no, that's so good.
I think the main thing, and I've said this for years, and we've said this even about our TV show, was that I try just not to take myself so seriously.
Yeah, I felt like you're gonna say that.
It keeps coming up over and over. And so what I find really funny is people that do take themselves too seriously. And there's just comedy gold in there because it's so funny because it's funny, but sometimes they don't think it's funny because they're taking themselves too seriously. And so you know, you can make light of things. And I guess growing up, you know, thinking about being funny, I mean, there's a lot of people in my family that are funny, and some are funny and not trying to be funny. And I don't know, it's how we dealt with, I think, a lot of, you know, shortcomings or pain or stuff that we had in our lives as a family. And so we found this way to make light and to laugh at anything. And so, and growing up with, like, with my dad, so Phil is so serious, and he does have a funny side for sure. And I've certainly seen that, but he comes across so serious. Mm-hmm. So it just, it creates a good habitat for something funny, because when there's something serious, then it can really get funny. Like when you're not supposed to laugh. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, I was in there making mom laugh. And mom was one of the greatest, because she would laugh at everything, you know? And so I was in there working some material, and I remember Phil, he's in there watching the news or whatever he's watching, or the Weather Channel. And he screams in there, he goes, "Hey, everybody be quiet in there," because we had such a small house. And so if you got loud on one side of the house, it was like too loud. He said, y'all pipe down in there. Saturday Night Live's over. And I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. Saturday Night Live's over. And so I really enjoy watching people melt down. It just cracks me up. And because, you know, people are like, this is the worst thing that happened. And I guess in America, when I hear these things, I'm like, that's the worst thing that's happened. And so one of my favorite things, which you're in airports like I am a lot, and so I love when there's problems at the airport, which is all the time, I love just watching people just lose their minds. They're melting away. And so I was in Houston one night, it was storms were happening, everything's getting delayed, and these people are just, and I'm just sitting there watching these people in line, and I never forget, this lady comes up, and I've got to be on this plane, ma'am. The plane's not leaving, you know, it could crash, you know. And so she goes, "You don't understand." And I was waiting for what was going to come out of her mouth. You know, "I'm having a child, I'm having this." Yeah. She goes, "I'm platinum."
What?
She was a platinum medallion. So,
and that's her problem.
"Oh, I'm sorry, you're platinum." Whoa. "Oh, okay. We'll tell the pilots, we'll crank this thing up. We'll go against every safety thing that we have because you're platinum."
We got a platinum.
And so, in fact, let's just get you a private plane to go through because you're platinum. And so that's one of the things I like. Or in traffic, I just watching people just, you know, like it's the worst day of their life because there's someone in front of them or, you know, the grocery line. And so, when I get in those situations, and then I just push myself, I go, like, we are not going to get upset. And
I've seen that play out in your life so clearly. And it's so funny because, like, your initial thing, don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take situations too seriously. The Robertson family all does that. You think, like, there would be, like, something big happening in the family that most families, it would be really, really hard. And it's not that it's not hard, but y'all just always make light or make somebody laugh because you're like, we're not just going to stay mad. We're not going to stay upset. We're not going to stay in this rut. And I love that about y'all. And I learn a lot from y'all in that.
When you got to think funny, I remember when I was doing the TV show, and it's so fun being around people who actually think funny. And so you just start thinking, you know, when funny people get together and you start thinking funny, it's fun. You know? And you, not everybody has that. Yeah, you just start thinking funny, and how could this be funny? And then how could we make this funny? And
you and Uncle Si would be like, literally, you would be crying at thinking of things.
That's what I'm saying. Si is awesome because half the time I don't even know that he realizes he's being funny, you know. And there's a fine thing between trying to be funny and then just being funny. Yeah. You know? And sometimes people that are trying to be funny, they're like, pipe down. You know, you're not the funniest person out there. And I just try to find comedy and everything. And
I love it.
I think it helps in life. I think it helps you to get through things. And
it does.
You know, it helped me with the show. I was invited up to a hospital to see a little girl. And I think she passed away like 4 days after. And this is just such a, and I had never like been that close, but realize now because of the TV show, I was invited up. Mm-hmm. And so I stuck my head in, and I just start bawling, crying. And so I'm like, "Oh, 1 second." You know, I'm trying to gather myself and realizing. But then I realized that girl wanted to see the person she sees on TV. She's been seeing people crying for weeks or months, you know, maybe even years. And so I just had to pull myself together and say, "I've got to go in there for her because I know she wants to see just for a few minutes something fun and something she sees that she laughs at and all that. And so it is tough. And when situations are tough like that, and that's where you can have that. And so I go in, I gather myself. I went back in there and, hey, you know, and I had my duck call. And so we were going to be funny. Then I left the room and then I started crying again. Then I started bawling crying again.
No, I get that. That's so sweet. I've seen you do that. That's powerful. The next piece of advice, which shifting gears a little bit, but I've really seen this a lot in your life and learned a lot from you and mom and y'all's marriage. But I want to talk about marriage advice. You know, Christian and I just got married, so you can give us your best piece of advice.
Y'all but did.
Also, a lot of people don't know that you and mom literally met in like, what, fourth grade. And so y'all had like kind of a lifelong relationship on and off. I won't say you dated since fourth grade. Right. But
on and off in the fourth grade, to, like when we got married, not on and off when we were married.
No.
There was a couple years there. I was gone for a couple of years and came back to the house. On and off from fourth grade to when she was a senior in high school.
To when you proposed.
We were in the same youth group because she went to the private Christian school. And I was the old public school boy. Oh. So,
I love it.
Yeah, we have known each other pretty much our whole lives.
Yeah, and so now y'all been married for, mom said 27, you said 28.
It's 28. She's terrible. Most people are like, ask your wife, they'll know the date. Nope, not my wife. She never knows it. Always off. I have to go look it up or ask someone to know what that is.
I know, I was trying to get my facts right for the podcast, and I'm like, how many years? She's like, 27. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A, to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. But I think Dad thinks it's 28. No, I think it's 28.
Well, we did some speeches at the end of last year, and so it was 27, but January 11th, we had another anniversary. Yeah. So I'm counting that one, so we're 28. That's
what it is. That's so funny. All right, so what's some marriage advice you give Christian and I?
So for younger people, this was a piece of advice I had gotten in my premarital counseling, and I think it was really helpful, which is you're not the other person's parent. Mm-hmm. So don't act like the parent. Because at some point in young relationships, you figured out that you've got it better figured out in something than the other person. And then you end up treating them like mm-hmm. they're a child, not like they're your spouse or your mm-hmm. friend. And so you're not the parent. So mm-hmm. I would constantly have to say, I'm not Corey's dad, you know?
Yeah.
So because you would, you know, for it would be like over safety or over something. Then it's literally like I'm treating like a child. Now, look, here's what you do. You know, it was great advice that I had then. And, I think it's good to say, hey, I'm not raising you. This journey that you're going to go through in life is obviously with your mm-hmm. spouse. But there's also a lot of other things that you've got to figure out and, you know, figure out with other men or with other women, with friends, with relationships, with careers mm-hmm. and all this. And so I think it's, you know, you just got to be careful not to treat that other person as a young couple.
What about
a young couple, for sure.
Couples who have been married like y'all for 28 or so on years?
Well, at some point, my advice shifts to you you got to hang in there and you got to weather the storms. And I mean, that's not really groundbreaking advice, but I think in this culture we have, let's face it. I mean, somebody said the other day, if there's a back door, believe me, you'll use it, you know? So if there's an option to get out of this thing or just move on, you have to do that. And then that goes back to give more than you take. Yeah. And so what I try to do is, you know, how much can I give? And I'm just going to give more than I'm actually taking. And there's going to be times where you end up taking, you know, indirectly. But if you can always just wake up going, what can I do? Some of the good advice I think I have is like, find some things in your relationship that you're good at and that you like doing. And then you pour into those, like mom and I with cooking, for instance. You know, she's not a good cook and she doesn't really care about cooking. She doesn't love it. She finally likes to eat. I mean, when we first got married, she didn't know what good food was. And so, man, and I just own that. And I said, I'm going to take this over and I will, you know, and so I work at it, I practice. And now it's been this cool relationship, like with you guys, yeah, your siblings, with family, where you bring your friends. Oh, dad's cooking this. Yeah. And so when I'm just sitting around with nothing to do and there's a Saturday I'm by myself, I'll usually get a cookbook and I'll try to. I have practice meals that I do, and so some of them work, some of them don't. But all that's going into one thing that I can provide, which is that. And another piece of general advice, which is I'm always like this. I want to live my life. If I'm not there, I want to be missed. I want to be like, oh, shoot. Willie's not here, so it's not going to be as fun, or it's not going to, I'm not trying to, you know, ruin somebody's thing, but I want to live my life towards like, when you're here, man, you give this or you give that, and you're really missed if you're not here. And so cooking's one thing that I can do. We eat, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 times a day, and so it keeps coming up. And it comes back to that. It's a together thing. Yeah. We'll, you know, tonight we'll be cooking. Yeah. We've got lobsters tonight.
About
so
that.
Yeah, we went big time. And this whole thing will be a process. Yeah. We'll sit in there. We'll have this time. You know, it's actually what Louie and Shelley Giglio, when they were at our house and I'm cooking and we're having this conversation. And then Louie called and said, hey, Willie, I want you to do that at Passion City. I'm like, do what? That whole thing we did, the cooking.
What?
And so they set up the stove, they got the ingredients,
so
and
awesome.
I cooked while they sat on the couch and we had this conversation.
That's cool.
Because it was just that's a powerful time. And then the sitting and the eating. And so all that, it's that family time, but it's not this forced, like, what can we do as a family?
Yeah.
We can do something like that. It's way better than just going, hey, let's go pick up.
And
obviously, at times we go pick up something to eat.
Yeah.
But I try to be so intentional about that and saying, I want it to be the best. I want it to be good. And if I'm not here, people are going to go, oh, no, what are we going to eat? Right. So.
Well, I can attest to that. Your cooking is my favorite thing ever. Like, me and Bella literally, like, call each other and, like, what should we ask Dad to cook tonight? And but it is something we circle around. I was telling somebody today, I was like, it's not just, like, mealtime with our family. It's before mealtime. It's when Dad's cooking. We all sit around the countertop and wait for you to finish. It's some of the best conversations. And so I can see how that's really brought our family together, and I'm very thankful for that. And that rolls right into the next piece of advice. I want to ask you about fatherly advice. That's one of my favorite things about what you do as a father, so I can just go ahead and pump you up and say just the way that you intentionally cook, like, it's so seen in our house, and it's so felt from every child. That's something we all look forward to, even the ones who don't have great taste, like Will, but he still likes staying out with the family. But what's some fatherly advice you give?
Oh, man. I think that's probably the toughest advice. Fatherhood or motherhood, either one. You know, parenthood is so hard because you don't really know. I mean, you can read all the playbooks. You can read the New Testament. You can read the Old Testament. You can get advice on what needs to happen. But you really don't know. You know, when you're in the arena of raising children, one, it constantly changes, you know, from babies to toddler, you know, to getting up to young kids, and then you're getting into the teenage years. And then now, so you're still learning and having to grow. And I guess my biggest advice is you've got to be able to adjust. You know, for our family, there's 6 kids, all sorts of different backgrounds, you know, through adoption, through coming in, different everything. So everything had to adjust. In fact, up until today, you know, like, it's still
so true.
Like, today I may have to make a move, you know, here or there. Tomorrow I will as well. And so as you're dealing with the different people, I guess my advice is I don't push too much. I try not to shape. I didn't try to shape you guys into anything other than being a good person, hopefully a believer in mm-hmm. something bigger than you are, in our faith aspect. And but I could only teach you that by doing it myself. Yeah. And so it was, I could read you all the Bible scriptures. Mm-hmm. But I knew a slew of people who went to youth group and mm-hmm. went to church who turned out to be terrible human beings. So that's not the yeah. secret sauce, which is yeah. just if you hear enough. And so it's you know, I tried to be the same, good or bad, you know, yeah. at home as I was. I didn't want somebody to go, you know, I don't want you guys yeah. to go like, whoa, what happened today? He didn't talk like that, you know. Yeah. And so you try to keep that the same. But I just didn't try to push you guys. Yeah. Just I was like, whatever happens, which, you know, I'm not a big goal guy. And I'm not, you know. And so I'm like, I'm not pushing. I'm just yeah. going to let you guys. And then let me, whatever it is, wherever you yeah. get to, let me try to help you speak in that into moment. It, yeah. Don't ask. I don't know what God's got in store for me. Just whatever I'm doing, God's there.
Yeah.
And so good. We can work through whatever that is, because Lord knows I never knew what I was going to mm-hmm. be doing. I'm a yeah. I'm a PE major, you know. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah. I knew I loved the Lord. I knew I, you know,
yeah.
I loved my wife. I loved my kids. And so I was a camp director, and then that shifted. And then I worked for the church yeah. and ended up being on TV with my family business with Duck Call. So
yeah.
you never know. And so making yeah. you guys into, you know, the best athlete or the best this, I mean, which Dad had taught me that as well. Like, look, he was a college quarterback. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he had done all those things. And really in life, he had already seen, like, that's not the most important thing yeah. in life. And if you're skilled and if you are a great athlete, or you're, you know, it's not that, you know, I mean, I quit the basketball team when I was a senior and I quit only because I wasn't playing. And I wanted to go play. So I quit and went and played in the rec league so I could play basketball.
Awesome.
And my team, when I quit, were like 500, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I quit, and it wasn't me quitting that made the difference, because believe me, I didn't play, but then they went to the Final Four in the state tournament. I was like, shoot, I wish, so, and I wish my dad would say, hey, you may want to stick it out. So it's yeah. not that you can't, I mean, you want to talk about not being pushed. My parents were, no, ain't yeah. pushing you nowhere other than church and, you know, yeah, being yeah, a good yeah. person, but figure that out. Don't just try. I think sometimes we try to
yeah.
shape our kids' lives mm-hmm. so much, you know, and then we get thrown into the mm-hmm. world, and then it's like, I don't know what to do, you know, yeah. because mom and dad did this. So
no, there's just a, so good.
Just a little bit of real, a little bit of, yeah. you know, street smarts mixed with, you know, whatever it is. And don't push, just get out of the way and say, whatever it is, yeah. however it ends up, I'll help you.
That's really cool. It's really cool to hear you say, because, you know, I've obviously seen you parent me like that, but I never really realized that was the intention. But now I'm like, oh, it's so clear. Like, you never pushed, or mom never pushed, but y'all were always there for us and always there to speak into whatever it was if we asked. Like, right. even when I was playing basketball, it wasn't that you're at like every single game, but I was like, hey, I'm working on this. I'll never forget. You were like, you got to stop taking that one dribble and picking the ball up. And so if we ask, you speak into it and right. help us right. figure something out, or go out and help us figure it out by showing us. And that always really means a lot. And it's so true. It's like, we don't know where God's going to take us. We couldn't have guessed this. I wouldn't have right. guessed going to Nashville, speaking on tours, right? It wouldn't have happened. But right. God was there in it all. All right. So I want to shift gears next to best piece of business advice, because you are a businessman through and through.
I am.
From the time you were young and you were selling bubblegum packets. But here you are now, and you run Duck Commander and several different things. And so what's some business advice?
Well, yeah, I've always kind of had a knack for trying to make money or figuring out ways. And my business advice probably is going to sound super counterproductive of what you would think I would say. And I've said this before to other groups of people, and it's really to be content. Mm. And so, and I think people go, what? Like, that's terrible advice. You got to push,
great.
You got to drive. And I'm like, no, I believe me, I've been around every kind of person who pushes and drives, and some are wealthy, some are not.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are, you have to be content. Now, that does not make up for hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work as hard as anyone else on whatever that job is. No matter what you're doing, if you're not content mm-hmm. and you're sitting there wanting something you don't have, or wanting more, or wanting, you know, I think it'll just drive you crazy, and you'll look up and realize you spent so much of your life pushing for something you don't even mm-hmm. know why you wanted yeah. or need it in the first place. And so one thing I learned from my dad, which was, he was so content. Like, we made nothing. We were poor and all that. But, you know, today where I sit, I'm so glad I had that experience, mm-hmm. which is another thing with parenting. Like, you guys didn't grow up like I did. And mm-hmm. so, but man, I appreciate having to fight for something mm-hmm. and want something. And you had to work. It was no yeah. question. I'm like, I just think I'll just not do anything and mm-hmm. chill out and watch TV. And that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
It was like, if you want stuff, you have to go work. We're not giving you anything. You got to go do it. And so that was understood. But I understood that contentment. So you could run into a guy who makes $100,000 a year. He's not content because he feels like he should be making $300,000. Yeah. You could run into a person who makes $25,000 a year. They're not content. You know, if you're content with whatever you have, and so if it's a little, if it's a lot, I've had the beauty in my life of living with very little. I've had the beauty of my life even as an adult where I didn't have a lot of money. Everything had to be thought about. Mom and I, when we first got married, we would just have a knockdown, drag out fight over. I wanted to buy some comic book or something. It was so stupid. I can't remember what it was. And she wanted to buy like ice cream, and which I thought was just a terrible way to spend money. And so like $4 is knockdown, drag out fight. But now I see the beauty in that of being able to live my life in those situations to where now, obviously, I have a lot more. And it's where you're content. And so, and really, I don't think about money. I know this. It was fun making money for sure, but it's super fun giving it away. So
it's awesome. I love giving more than you take.
Yeah, I just love. Well, that's true. Yep. I didn't think about it. It's right back to get. And so, man, when I can help something or some person, when I can say I can afford to do that, if you want to push yourselves to be like that and have what I have, then yeah, you're going to have to work a lot. You're not, you know, it's always time and money. There's very few people I know who have time and money.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out what you want more of. If you want more time, then you probably won't make as much money.
Yeah.
If you want more money, believe me, you're not going to have as much time. And so I find that people go like, well, I want them both. Well, you don't have them.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do, the reason I really pushed, because I didn't want to be so old to where I was like, I finally got everything I wanted.
Yeah.
And now the time, and now I can't walk, you know. So somebody helped me over to get to where I wanted to. I wanted to do it young, where I was still young enough to where I felt like I could enjoy it and then give some away and have that.
That's such good advice. And honestly, that's taught me a lot. I've watched you and mom just stay content in the good times, the bad times, and each and different season of our life. Because even our life, like, I feel like we grew up a little bit different than how even middle school after was.
For sure.
And no, so even just seeing that, especially John Luke and I, has been really cool, because as kids, we never saw y'all act any different when we got more or when we had less. There was a contentment throughout the whole thing.
It's really the same thing.
It's the same. Yeah.
The space may be bigger, but it's the,
it's the same.
The same things happening in the space are the same.
Yeah,
you know, it's really awesome. Those same things. And now my new job is awesome. I love this job.
Yeah, please tell me your new job.
I'm a volunteer at Camp Chioka. So I basically tell everybody I'm John Luke's chief maintenance guy, which means I have to pay for everything too. So, because I'm also a donor. But I love being a volunteer because I can't get fired. I know there's no way they can say, look, you're out of here, you know.
Yeah.
And one, I'm just really getting after it. So, you know, I may be a little obsessive, but
I
work till dark, you know, every day. Mom knows I'll be home at dark, which does make the food a challenge.
It's true.
Because then I have to cook.
It's
so
true.
The meals are late. And I'm like, well, if you want me to cook, it may be 9 o'clock. I'm trying to determine how long it would take me, or any human being, not just me, because I'll cheat and get some other people to help, but I want to pick up every piece of dead wood on 100 acres of property.
Every piece of dead at Camp Chioka.
Yeah, every tree that's fallen, everything.
Oh,
so my dream
my
is to
gosh.
Walk and there be no piece of dead wood. So I told John Luke, and I said, then if I accomplish this, we may be like really old people. he may be my age, and I may be like in a little hover around scooter going around there with my little stick grabber. I have a custom like stick grabber that's awesome, and I've went through tons of them. But yeah, I just love it. I love being outside, and really just love not having to do other things. But I'm gonna do other things.
I'm
in a season of volunteering, but we run the business. I mean, I still have a lot.
You really dip your toes in so many waters. It's hilarious. Like, you're still doing so much, and you're still going so much, enough to be in the public eye where people will say, "Oh, I see our dad in Washington D.C. or I saw your dad here, or there, and these all of these cool places." And they say, "So what's he doing nowadays?" And I'll say, "Oh, he's actually volunteering at Camp Chioka, picking up stuff." And they're like, oh, because you do so many different things, and I love it. But we did have a show for a little while, and you were a celebrity, and you are a celebrity, and you are recognized by a lot of people. And so I want to ask you some celebrity advice. For me, I'm just going to go ahead and shout you out, because for everybody on the show, I try to say something I really learned from them, a piece of advice that I learned from them. And for you, like, I've watched you. You're really, really good at being yourself. And like, for me, you kind of spoke over me to be like the original. That's where the whole thing came from. And really encourage us to like stick to who we are, be true to who we are, stick to what we believe. Don't be one foot in, one foot out, go all the way. And I've just watched you really stick to who you are. I mean, I know that's been hard and it's been a challenge, but for me, watching you walk through that in the celebrity spotlight, whenever it was really honest, helped me really walk that out and be like, okay, well, nobody else is changing who they are, especially the adults around me. So like, why would we go crazy and change who we are? No. And I watched that benefit for your life. But what's something you'd say to people walking into life change like being a celebrity, or something you want people to understand about
right.
celebrity?
Yeah. Well, one, I'll say it's really hard. And, you know, people come and say, oh, I want to do a TV show. And usually my initial response is no, you don't. Like, yeah. It's really hard. You don't, you know, to keep it all together and to keep yourself sane and to not get that big head. I think all the other advice that I've mentioned probably goes into that, yeah. which is give more than you take, you know, all these yeah. things. And I think celebrity is so tough. You know, for us, what helped a lot was there was a bunch of us together at the same time. So really your whole family kind of became famous, which was helpful. Most celebrities I know is just one person. You know, it's the one, you know, singer, it's the one athlete, it's the one actor, whatever. And so what happens is everybody just kind of gravitates around that one person. They yeah. usually hire everyone they know, mm-hmm. you know, their family. And then they become like the little G God, you know, mm-hmm. and so, and then that's a scary place to be in, because man, if you get off there, mm-hmm. no one's there to say, hey, yeah, whoa, bro,
you're off.
Celebrities, I feel like it's really just a bigger version of what you are when you mm-hmm. come to it. And so if you're just a terrible person and you're selfish and, you know, I'm trying to use all the correct words that I can say, you know, as far as a person, and then you become famous, you're just a bigger
yeah.
worse version yeah. of that who has money now. Now you have fame. And so I've typically found whatever you brought to the game, that usually in most cases, you're just a bigger version of that. And so going back to when we were, yeah. didn't have much, and you know, it's the same type of deal, but I was committed to saying, hey man, I found that was more attractive. Mm-hmm. Sadie, it was like,
so
it's more attractive. Like I found, you know, the true nature of our show, if you could boil it down to something, there's really an authenticity mm-hmm. there. You know, it's like, man, these people are, you know,
yeah.
they really are like this. And so I would hope that people would yeah. hang around with me. And I've had people say that thousands of times.
Yeah,
oh,
for
you're
sure.
just a regular guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a regular yep. guy. You know, you're at the grocery store. What are you doing here? I'm like, well, I got to eat.
So, people say it to me. It's now, so funny.
I thought you would hire somebody to buy your food. I'm like, no, I don't trust anybody to go pick my food. You know, yeah. like I got to pick up the fruit and all that. And so it's tough. I mean, that, you know, living in the fishbowl, I definitely see the downfalls. And so luckily for us, we were able to, you know, which I think God had a plan for us and our lives and what we could expose, mm-hmm. use our platform. You're a great case of that. But we did get a little bit of the spotlight. You know, we had some yeah. smaller shows. And so it was coming. It was building. I felt like we were prepared more for that. So people just drop into it and you're just zero to hero. You know, man, it can be, it can be tough.
For sure. Well, I definitely learned a lot from you and Mom in that season, because I was certainly crazy and a lot of hard things, but a lot of really good things came, I think, even for growing in who we all were. So you kind of talked about this. Authenticity was like the number one thing of our show, I think, when you boil it down. And people say that all the time. And y'all were so authentic. We all were, to our faith, really. And it's really funny because people all the time are like, so what made y'all decide to really like bring your faith into it? And I'm always like, I mean, well, we just are Christians and our faith is really important. Important. Yeah. So it just bled through. And I just wanted to kind of mention this because I've watched you do this in every part of your life. It's not just TV. Like when you were like, oh, now we have a show, let's talk about Jesus. You always talk about Jesus. When people come over to our house to have dinner, they don't know the Lord, I will watch you bring them to the couch. And so natural. Like you're just talking and then faith comes up somehow and they want to know more. And you open up your Bible and you turn to certain things. And it's just really powerful. And so I really just want to give advice to other people as your daughter to say, like, if it is who you are, if you love Jesus, if you are a faith-filled person, bring it into everything that you are. And Dad is so good about just so naturally being himself in those moments. If you have any advice on that, you can give it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
really, I just think it's really impressive how you so naturally flow into conversation.
Is this where we move into the next podcast? Because this might be...
I know. I was worried to go into that because I knew.
The faith part is... Well, I'll give you some short, simple things. One is I'm not as inspired by people who say, well, I just keep my faith to myself and I don't really talk about it. And so I'd probably not think as highly of that person if they were like that about their spouse. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't ever mention my spouse. I don't want to talk about that person. You know, you'll never hear me mention that person. And when that relationship's real, when it's on fire, and the Bible does that too, it likens it to a marriage, you know. I probably can't go 5 minutes without mentioning, oh, I was telling Corey the other day, you know, because it comes up because that's in my life and that's what is important to me. So the idea of just keeping it like in a little treasure chest. And so we'll open that up only privately. It's fine. If people want to do it, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. For me, man, I find that, you know, what's in you starts pouring out of you. And so my best advice on bringing faith up to people is, number one, to listen. Mm-hmm. It's not to talk, it's to listen.
It's good.
And when you listen, it's amazing. If you talk to someone long enough, you will hear something. If they don't have a faith or they're misunderstood or whatever, you'll hear something come out that you're like, ah, maybe that's the thing right there that we can go off that. You know, maybe it has to do with death or sickness or fear or, you know, you just hear something and be like, ah. And so we dig deeper in that. And so most time it's not this just, you know, where are you at with the Lord today? Yeah. You know, and that's weird. I mean, that's, so I'm trying to be weird. I'm trying to be like, I'm going to be a weirdo. But if I hear somebody say, man, oh, my wife drives me crazy. I just don't even know if I could, you know, how do you, or my kids or whatever it is, or I'm scared to death I may die, or, you know, whatever that is. And so, man, I found something that has an answer for everything. Like,
yeah, it's
it
so
has
good.
All the answers. Yeah. Even the little girl I mentioned earlier, who she actually passed away that same week. And so I'm so excited that, man, we have a God and we have a book
hope.
That there's a hope. There's something, you know, I just got back from the Congo. You're over there and you're like, if that's all life for some of the people, if that's all it has to offer, man, what a bad draw. Yeah. You know, you just like, really? So what excites me about bringing that passion to the Lord with people in America, people who do have stuff, one of my favorite ones are the people who have everything, you know, or think they have everything. And so trying to crack that person. Yeah. And so, man, I will go just over and over with them,
so
just trying to figure
out
what can I say? You know, who is it possible? You know, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth, you know, can have this. And so what happens is then you become that person. So people will naturally bring people to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's
just
really
like the
cool.
food, just like it's like, oh, dad's cooking. Let's go. Well, it's the same way with stuff about the Bible. So when someone's misunderstood, they'll go, oh, well, let's go ask Willie because, man, he helped me out this time. And so then you get even more opportunities to help people because, and you'll hear all kinds of stuff. And there's sometimes I'm going, whoa, like, I don't know what to say. This is, but usually I can say, all right, let's break this down. Let's go study some more. If I have to say, hey, let's keep this conversation up, you know, let's keep this going. And no matter what, and I've learned this over the years, I don't have to at the end win. Like I'm like, ooh, boom, they came to the Lord and they had this big thing. No, it may last a year. Yeah. It could last years. It could last a lifetime of just somebody watching you. But I always tell people, your life has to be that harbor because somebody may be going through the worst thing ever, terrible, and they may come back to you years later going, oh, there's one person I know. And I don't want to come back to me and me going, oh, you know, talk about screwed up. I'm more screwed up than you are. So, you know, it's just, you know, that's what
so
I find in the Lord. And do not hold yourself back in thinking, well, when I get it all figured out, I'll be that person. Because Acts 1 and 2 and at the end of the Gospels, Peter, who you spoke about recently, and I've spoke that a ton of times, man, this guy falls flat on his face, denies knowing God, and is at the point where it'd be like, you need to take 10 years off where you can never say another word because you just denied this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was in my Bible, I turn the page. And there he is. He gets up and says, hey, let me get up and preach the first sermon now. And so for people who say, man, you just don't know how bad I've been. Well, perfect. You know, the Apostle Paul, the next chapter from stoning Stephen. Now Paul's up saying, I'm going to the point where everybody was scared to death of him. So for us to say, well, I'm just not the guy, you know, I mean, I'm reading about people who did far worse things and they get right up. And I'm not saying that by giving you a license just to go sin. I'm giving you a license to live in Jesus and say, there's no time for it. There's no like, well, how long does it take before I can, you know, get back going or to where I can do something bold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I don't, you know, if someone's really bad in sin, I'm like, man, we need you on our team because you could be really powerful for God, you know?
Awesome.
So all that
so
moxie you had for sin, let's turn it to something good.
That's so true. I love it, man. That gets me so stoked. And I've watched you do it with so many people and walk through it with so many people, including myself and including all of my siblings. And so that's awesome. I know it's going to encourage so many people. people. Some people are probably in their car, like responding right now. They're like, okay, let's turn the page in my life.
Yeah, and you can. With that, Kanye West.
I was going to say, was our family not like.
I pushed myself. I remember watching him and I was like, whoa, because he was doing a lot of the same things we were, you know, with interviews and stuff. And I was like, man, that just emboldened me. I'm like, I got to turn it up a notch. You know, yeah, Kanye's out here. Doing it. But that's the nature of Christianity. Like, you get encouraged by other. I don't know Kanye West or anything about him. All I know is when I was hearing him say, hey, I'm doing this for Jesus. I got an album, you know.
Jesus is King.
And so I'm like, it made me be even more bold, you know, even in the public eye going, hey, I'll tell you, I don't care.
And people are like, how can that be? And it's like, well, that is the gospel. Look at Peter. Look at Paul. Right. Look at all these people. It isn't crazy that that's what his response was to the gospel, because that is the response to the gospel. It changes everything about you.
That's it.
So it's amazing. So the last thing I want to ask you, and this is kind of a funny question, but people ask me this all the time. They say, Sadie, how do you deal with haters? How do you deal with the haters on Instagram, social media, being a celebrity, all this different stuff? And it's one thing to ask a 22-year-old girl. And I know a lot of people might not think to ask a man, a father, and people probably don't even think it would bother someone like you. But people are straight up rude. And so, one, do you have haters? Two, how do you deal with the haters?
Oh, of course I have haters. I have haters in everything. And this is one I have to be careful, because I can probably get quasi-sinful over this, because, you know, I'm like, oh, really? You want to, like, I will just take you apart. I will make you feel so small, and I will make fun of you, and it'll be funny. And I have a way bigger platform than you. I will just beat you to death. And so, but that's back to the nature of Christianity, where we're not like that, where those are people. So it's all people. We can't just separate the people and all that.
Good.
But I will say this. I could care less. Like, I literally could care less about someone who says, I'm a hater, or I don't read comments on social media. Very soon after the show, I don't read the, you know, I don't get my little up from it, you know, go, oh, look how many people like, you know, because somebody's going to say something. But one did slip through, and I never forget, it was a tweet, and it said to Willie Robertson, your very existence makes me sad.
Oh my gosh.
How awesome is that? I didn't even know what to apologize for, like for existing. Like, I was like, wow, you know, that's big time there. Somebody actually thought about that, you know, my very existence. So I really don't care. You know, mom always says that. she goes, y'all are so funny, because if you disagree with me, then basically I'll just think you're stupid. I'll be like, well, you're stupid, and so I'm right, and you're stupid. So that's how I can deal with that, if you don't think what I'm thinking is right. But I love having talks with people, but I just don't think social media is the best venue for that. I mean, I will sit down and talk with literally anyone, people that I disagree with, people that certainly disagree with me. It's okay. You know, it's not, I'm going to walk away and say it's fine. But I would love to talk to that. I'd love to find some kind of common out. Like, well, we can agree that, you know, we're both human. We both have noses. You know, I mean, let's agree on something that we can. I try to see the best in people, but just straight up haters, at some point, you just got to say, look, I could care less.
You got to care less. You got to care less.
I could care less, man. I'm doing the stuff I want to do. I have the family I want to have. I have this. And so I'm not going to let you. And just because you can have some sort of access to me through the internet or whatever it is, now, you're not getting through. You won't be talked about. It's my staff knows it. Do not bring me all that stuff. We will not let 100 comments and 99 of them not even get mentioned, and one gets talked about. I'm
so
like,
good.
No, I'm not giving you that right. You know, it's like my cell phone. Just because you have my number doesn't mean I'm going to answer when you call me. Like, you don't know. I'm not. I don't want to talk right now. So, you know, if we let everybody just say, oh, the minute you need me, you know, then we'll be so distracted. And so, and that's what it does. So it distracts people. You know,
so
people
true.
That are reading that all the time, it's so distracting.
Yeah.
And so I just, you want to talk about lose my mind. Is that thing to where you're talking to someone and they're looking down at the phone the whole time, and I just want to take it and smash it up against the wall and say, man, let's, and maybe I'm old school, but I just hate that.
I just hate it's so good.
You know, and watching you guys, or like the kids, it's like, holy moly, what is going on? You know, and so I'm so thankful that we didn't have those phones, because you can, your whole self. I mean, every, if you read that stuff, I mean,
really,
man, they say some
you.
Ugly, ugly stuff there. And it's, I'm like, I ain't letting some guy sitting in Wisconsin like ruin my day. Are you kidding me? And I love Wisconsin. But I mean, any, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get the right to try to, Because you're going to high-five your buddy and go, oh, boy, you know, I made somebody cry or whatever. I mean, good grief.
Good grief. That's such good advice. I don't care if you are 22, 15, if you're a girl, guy, older, I don't care. Like, everybody take that advice. And I think sometimes you don't realize that you actually can take that advice. You know, like, you can put down the phone. You can delete the app. You don't have to read all
and
the comments.
And I'm not anti-cell phone, by the way. The cell phone is bringing the gospel to places
for sure.
That if me and you started today, we would never make it there. So for it can sure. be a positive. All these recipes I research are on the internet. Yeah, so it's not the self. It's just being able to handle that thing, not getting so caught up in the negative things like that, and other obviously things that you can get caught up in on a cell phone. But
who
it can be positive.
Speak into your
but
life.
You ain't speaking into my. You don't even know me. How would you even know? You don't even know who I am. You know, you've seen a version of me, or you think you know me, but you don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Dad, you crushed it. I mean, so much good advice. People are gonna have to listen to this like 3 times and get a notebook. So thank you for all the wonderful advice. Thanks for being a great dad and a great friend. You're the best.
Thanks for asking me. Love you. And let's go eat some lobster.
Love you. Let's go eat some lobster. All right, fam. Are you ready for some good and bad advice?
We ready.
What's your advice, babe? Brought to you by Christian Huff and Sadie Rob Huff in our house. Christian, I think I'm going to throw you for a loop today.
Throw me for a loop today.
Okay, so whenever I was reading through the good and bad advice, somebody like threw in there, which by the way, thank you for sending it in. As always, we get our good and bad advice from the Well That's Good podcast Instagram. But somebody said, what do you think about streaks, like Snapchat streaks? Which didn't let me to think about, why don't we just kind of talk about some different aspects of social media and give some advice on each different one. Does that sound good?
That's a good advice. That's good, yeah.
Okay, what do you think about Snapchat and the whole streak thing and all that?
So personally, I really dislike Snapchat. I think that for something to be created to target what the people were wanting to target it for creating it, I don't think that it was a good cause. And I just don't think it's good. I think that you can communicate in other ways. I think that, you know, some of the ads on Snapchat are very provoking, very bad, very just not beneficial for you to see. And I think that a lot of times, I think people do get caught up, like you said, with the streaks. I've known people that like the streaks like are like the most important thing in their life, so to speak. And I would hate for you to literally idolize Snapchat and idolize your Snapchat streak. And yeah, I don't like Snapchat.
Yeah, and me and Christian, we kind of bonded on that when we started dating because neither of us like Snapchat. And it's not like we're like, oh, Snapchat is the woat. It's just like Snapchat just, it's not beneficial. Official for the most part. I mean, yeah. I'm sure you can use it and it'd be okay and you do it in a healthy way. But for both of us personally, we just have not experienced like a good thing for our life, our mind, our heart, our body through Snapchat. I mean, if somebody sends a picture that's meant to be like unseen a few seconds later, it's just not a really good setup for teenagers or young adults. And then also the ads they put on, even if you weren't doing something bad, it's just super, I don't know. I think it could just definitely take you down the bad road. Okay, what do you think about Instagram?
I like Instagram. I think Instagram is different than Snapchat in the way of, I think that Instagram is a great outreach for people. It's really connecting just the world through just getting to see a part of your life. I know that we have had some moments with Instagram where we've had to delete it just because there are times where you can maybe feel like you're on it too much. I think you should set a time limit for Instagram for the day. That way you're not spending too much time on it and filling your mind on it. But I think that there are many beneficial things. I think that you can spread the gospel on Instagram. I think that you can be encouraging and uplifting to people on Instagram. But I know that there are also negative sides that you can, you know, compare yourself to others and that you can be insecure, or that you can strive for likes on a post, mm-hmm. or that you can...
I think Instagram, it totally is what you make it. That's the beautiful thing about Instagram. I mean, it's who you follow is what you're going to see. It's what you post is what your page is going to look like. And so you can be as encouraging. You can be a light on Instagram, or you can cave in and be like everybody else and start comparing and start, you know, getting insecure and stuff like that. And to fight against that, I think you have to limit your time and, you know, be protective of who you follow and how much you're looking at something. But I think Instagram can be used for the best. Like, I think it can definitely be a huge outlet. And I've seen that in my own life. Okay, what about Twitter?
I don't really know much about Twitter. I don't really know.
Yeah, you don't really do Twitter.
Yeah, I don't do Twitter.
I'll say Twitter can be hateful. But again, just like Instagram, it is what you make it. I mean, it's what you post, and it's who you follow, and it's what you allow yourself to see. So it's all of these things. Social media is like meant to connect you to other people, right? So if we're not really authentically being ourselves, or we're not like being a good friend, then it's not going to do its original purpose to connect you to other people. It's just going to put you in harm's way. And so I think if you be a friend, if you reach out, if you post encouraging things, if you follow encouraging people, it's going to be an encouraging place for you. If you follow all of these accounts that are funny but hateful, then it's going to be something that probably hurts you. It's always funny when it's somebody else until it's you. It's not so funny anymore.
Yeah.
All right. What about Facebook?
Okay. So I don't have Facebook either. But
yeah, Christian's like a really funny to interview. Yeah. Okay, I'll say.
I'll say one thing. Well, I don't have anything on social media. I have a 15-minute time limit on Instagram. That's literally all I do. But Facebook, it's kind of like what you said. You can make it what you want to be. It was really cool. Last week we were in Haiti, and there was this guy that we met, and he said that his dad was passing away, and his dad said that he had two stepbrothers that he had never known about. And his dad told him his stepbrothers' names, and he literally just looked them up on Facebook. And he met up with them in Haiti. So I think that it's definitely
cool. I love
Facebook.
Yeah. I said that Snapchat, I was like, it's not the woke. It kind of is. So the woke being worst of all time. I personally think Snapchat is, of all social media, I think Facebook's a goat. Like, yeah. I love Facebook because it's really your friends and family, you know? And then, like, it's encouraging, inspiring videos and stuff like that. I love Facebook. I think it's awesome. I know it's, like, old school, whatever. I don't get on it that much, to be honest, but I love it whenever I do.
Yeah.
It's, like, just very authentic.
Yeah.
Okay, what about TikTok?
TikTok. Maybe.
TikTok, man. On the Okay, never mind.
That's kind of controversial. I feel like, for me, TikTok and Snapchat are a toss-up because I really don't like TikTok either. I just don't like dancing. I don't like the whole...
Christian, like, would not be good at TikTok.
No. And I don't know. I'm just not... I'm not into TikTok. If you were 13.
No, I mean, yeah, but I would totally love it. But at the same time, like, I know I'd spend too much time on it because it would take me forever. And the only downfall of TikTok is how, like, it just keeps playing other videos, so you don't really know what's gonna pop up next. So that's why I haven't gotten TikTok yet. Because here's the thing, y'all, we have to protect what we see. We have to protect what we get in our heart. We have to protect our mind. It's very important, because we don't protect it, and then we wonder why we're comparing ourselves to everybody, why we're so afraid, why we're addicted to certain things. And it's like, well, maybe it's because that's what we're filling ourselves with. And so with all things social media, be careful. Protect what you're seeing. Protect what you're looking into. Protect what you're searching. But also be the example that you want to see on social media. Be a light. Be a friend. Build your community. And be authentic to who you really are. And that way you won't have to feel the need to hide, because you just are who you are. You don't have to fear somebody will see you and think less of you because you presented yourself in a certain way. Social media can be a great tool, but it's all about how you use it.
That's good. Whoa.
That's good. Thank you so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I have so much fun doing this. I hope y'all have fun listening. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at LegitCityRob and follow the podcast at Whoa, That's Good podcast. Head on over to liveoriginal.com to see when I'm in a city near you, or visit Live Original blog on our online store, which carries my exclusive Words by City Rob line. Also, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and leave comments so we can hear what you're loving. Also want to give a special shout out to my audio engineer, Marcus DePaula, the whole team at United Talent Agency, and my Live Original team. You guys are awesome, and hey, so are all of you too. Thanks so much for listening.